ladies and gentlemen, tonight Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players in RKO's charming homespun comedy, Heavenly Days, by Howard Estabrook and Don Quinn. It stars that well-known couple from 79 Wistful Vista, Fibber McGee and Molly, the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players in Heavenly Days.
Sir, doesn't pay to fool with books. Maybe some folks won't know what you're fooling.
That's Fibber McGee of Wistful Vista. And the book he's referring to is lying open on the dining room table. A history book. On one page, a picture of the USS Constitution. And on the opposite page, the famous Spirit of 76. But it's the ship that's giving Fibber all the trouble. He has just finished carving a model in wood. A small model, but not small enough to go into the bottle that's on the table. And as he stands there ruefully looking at it...
It's no use. I'll never get this ship into the bottle. Not a chance.
Oh, McGee, I just got the most exciting letter.
Must have measured it wrong.
Remember Cousin Clark in Washington?
Too broad in the beam.
McGee, I'll thank you not to refer to my... you mean the ship. What's the matter now?
Just run into a bottleneck. Or rather, it won't run into a bottleneck. Did you say letter? Who's it from?
Cousin Alvin Clark in Washington. Came airmail.
Airmail? That guy tosses 5-cent stamps around like they were made out of paper. What's he want?
Well, he wants us to come to Washington for a visit.
To Washington?
I think it's very friendly of Alvin and Hetty. Oh, you'd like them if you knew them.
I know too many people now. Do you know what our Christmas cards cost us this year?
Don't talk nonsense. This is the third time they've invited us, and we ought to go.
Listen, Molly. Washington is no place for yokels with grass suitcases.
Why, that's ridiculous. I have a nice alligator bag.
It's overcrowded, overworked, overrated, and over our heads financially. Why, the hotel's there...
Yeah, but Cousin Alvin wants us to stay at their home.
Oh. Charity, eh?
But, McGee, he wants you to help him with some post-war problems. This might be a big chance for you if you don't... If you want to make something of yourself, which you don't seem to, but you could if you had any real spirit or ambition.
My gosh, Molly, I don't see why we have to go to Washington just to prove I've got ambition. I could have ambition right here, couldn't I?
Well, dear, you make up your little mind about it. I've got to go back in the hall carpet.
Okay. Ah, there goes the good kid. She thinks I'll change my mind, but I won't. No, sir, I'm not going to Washington, and I mean that. Why don't you go to Washington, McGee? Because I got no business there. Everybody's got business in Washington, McGee. Everybody but me. Wistful Vista is good enough for me. Always has been and always will be. Well, maybe you're right.
McGee, are you arguing with yourself again?
Yeah, and I won, too. Now, let me see. There must be some way to get this dead-ratted ship into that... Huh? What's that? Gosh, am I hearing things?
Fibber McGee, I'm looking for you.
For me? Where'd you come from?
Right out of that book on the table there. Right out of history. The history of the greatest nation on earth.
Say, I've seen you. You're the...
That's right. The Spirit of 76.
Yeah.
I'm the fellow in the middle. And getting a little tired of it. Fibber McGee, you've got to go to Washington.
What do you mean, I gotta?
They need you down there.
Not me. Too many people in Washington messing up the country right now.
Fibber McGee, they're waiting for you.
Horse feathers. They never even heard of me.
Well, that's the reason. It's time they heard the voice of the average man.
Average man? Me? Why, I'm way above the average.
Stay by me. All right.
Hey, it went in. You got the ship inside the bottle. My gosh, how'd you do it?
Professional secret.
Oh, McGee.
I have to go now. There's Molly. Just remember what I told you, son.
I don't believe it. I just don't believe it.
Are you still talking to yourself, dearie?
Hey, Molly, do you hear anything?
No. Yes.
You do?
Yes, the refrigerator.
No. You sure you don't hear
I mean...
Oh, McGee, you did it. You got the ship inside the bottle. How on earth did you do it?
Oh, it was simple. I just concentrated and... I mean, well, it's a sort of professional secret.
Say, have you thought any more about going to Washington?
Washington. That's the last place in the world I ever expected to go, but... George Molly, I think we should go.
Ha-ha. I'm glad you changed your mind, McGee. When can we leave?
Why not tonight? The 8:17. Molly, you start to pack. I'll phone for the ticket. Hello, operator. Give me the Union Depot. Oh, is that you, Mert?
Oh, dear.
What say, Mert? How's every little thing, Mert?
Busy.
How's your family? Huh? Tried all over town and couldn't.
Couldn't what?
How's her family?
Oh.
What say, Mert? Yeah, Union Depot. Going to Washington on government business. Strictly hush-hush. Huh? I mean, we're going to Washington on the QT. Molly, she says we can't go on the QT. We got to take the Pennsylvania. Hey, Mert, connect me with the ticket office. And... Huh? Only busy? Well, call me back when you get them, will you, Mert? Thanks.
What was all that talk, McGee, about government business?
Molly, I'm going to tell those people in Washington just what I... Well, your cousin Alvin wants me to help him, doesn't he?
That's right. The letter did say that. My goodness, if we're leaving tonight, we'll have to send a telegram. I'll write it out, McGee.
Yeah, just keep it down to 10 words. And send to collect. I wonder what kind of government work he wants me for. Maybe I'll be a big shot. In an average way, of course. Like undersecretary to the overseer of the exterior of internal revenue or something. Hey, I'd better get going. Hey, Molly, where's my suitcase? You know?
I'm sure I don't know, McGee. You had it last...
Oh, I know. I know where it is. It's right here in the hall. So look at that. Straighten out that closet one of these days. Yes, sir, that's what they need in Washington. Someone to talk for the average man. Now, you take an average cab driver like yourself.
Me, average? I ain't no average cab driver. I ain't pleated one fender in 7 years.
And that's the whole idea, Porter. Someone to talk for the average man. Now, you take an average porter like yourself.
Oh, I ain't no average porter, mister. Been with the line for 13 years, never got no baggage mixed up once.
Now, there's the kind of fellow I mean, Molly. Right there across the aisle. I'll bet he's an average. I'll bet he's as average as an apple pie.
Why don't you speak to him, dearie?
I think I will, if I can speak. Excuse me, sir. My name's McGee. This is my wife, Mrs. McGee.
Well, I'm glad to know you. I'm Dr. Gallup.
Well, how do you do, I'm sure?
Dr. Gallup. Medicine man?
No, Ph.D.
Huh?
Ph.D., McGee. Doctor of
philosophy.
Oh, yes.
Any special kind of philosophy, Doc?
Well, my business is making surveys of public opinion. You've heard of the Gallup poll?
Oh, sure, Dr. Gallup.
Oh, the Gallup poll.
Oh, you know, Doctor, one of your men came to the door and asked me a lot of questions. Nothing embarrassing, of course. Just what magazines I read and what movies I saw and what radio programs I liked and so on.
Yes, we got a pretty reliable cross-section that way.
You do? That's fine. Hey, look, maybe you can tell me, Doc. Do you know if there's any such thing as an average man?
Why, of course there is. There must be millions of them.
Who?
I couldn't say offhand.
Well, just think now. Have you ever seen one?
Well...
Obviously, I'm not average. Obviously, you're not.
Obviously, no one is ever going to admit it anyway.
But there must be. John Q. Public, Joe Doakes. Doesn't he represent the average man?
Personally, I think he's just a will-o'-the-wasp. And, you're stung with him.
Now, what I mean, Doc, if you could ever find him...
You know, you've got an idea there. I've a good mind to... Yes, I'll do it.
What?
Make a nationwide survey, a Gallup poll, find out who the average man is and what he thinks. Why, if we can discover him, the real average man, get at his thoughts, we could predict elections, anything.
Yeah, that's right. You could place a few bets and clean up a lot of dough.
And the publicity. The newspapers would just eat it up.
Yeah.
Every reader would be a potential average man, a possible winner. Why, we might even...
Come into Washington, Doctor.
Oh, thank you, Porter. Well, tell me, my friends. You stopping over in Washington?
Yes, I've got some important business there. I'm going to...
McGee.
Yes?
Well, I may want to get in touch with you. May I have your address?
Sure. Mr. and Mrs. Fibber McGee.
1730 Massachusetts Avenue. Drop in on us, Doctor.
Yeah, and bring the wife and questionnaires. Huh? Looks like this is the place, all right, Molly. 1730 Massachusetts Avenue.
McGee. Huh? How much did you tip the taxi driver?
10 cents.
Dearie, only if you're rich can you afford to be stingy.
Doggone it, I think tipping is un-American. Hey, what's that sticking out of the letterbox?
Well, unless my astigmatism is worse, it's a letter.
Oh.
Let me see. Oh, it's addressed to Mrs. Molly McGee. Why, it's for me.
Uh-oh. Probably our grocery bill. That guy would forward it if we only went out in the backyard. What's it say?
Heavenly days. Cousin Alvin's been called away unexpectedly, and Hetty's gone with him.
Oh.
They've left the key, and they want us to make ourselves at home.
Well, come on. Let's go in.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
Wow. So this is how the other half lives.
Cousin Alvin is high bracket. I can see that in one expensive glance.
You know, he really must be a big shot. Maybe I'll get one of these gilt-edge inside jobs that could set me up for life. Hey, Molly, we're made.
Oh, don't shout, McGee. You want the servants to hear you?
What servants? I haven't seen anybody around. Oh, anybody here? Yeah, see?
Maybe the servants quit.
Is that reasonable?
Servants don't need a reason for quitting.
Well, just the same, I... Hey, now, who could that be?
Well, I don't know. We better answer it, or they're apt to think that something's wrong.
Yeah, maybe they would. Well, come on. Yes?
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Now, just a minute.
Senator Bigby, my good man. Senator Bigby.
Senator?
Yes, indeed. By the will of the people, a clear majority of 8,422, I'd like to see Mr. Clark.
Well, we're sorry, Senator. Mr. and Mrs. Clark are away.
Oh, that's too bad. I wanted to discuss our plan. All the details, ideology, indoctrination, implementation, with coordination and solidarity. Well, I shall have to drop by on Wednesday afternoon.
Excuse me, Senator, but if the Senate's in session, don't you have to be there on Wednesday afternoon?
My good man, the only time I have to be there is when I speak. I'm speaking tomorrow afternoon.
You are? Would it be possible to go and hear you, Senator? I mean, well, some friends of Mr. Clark?
Of course, of course. What are their names?
Mr. and Mrs. Fibber McGee of Wistful Vista.
Mr. and Mrs. There you are. You may give them this pass.
Oh, thank you, Senator. Thank you very much.
Don't mention it. Little enough to do for my good friend, Clark, if you'll just say I was here, hmm? Well, good day. Good day.
Oh, McGee, a real senator.
Yeah. Molly, this does it.
Does what?
This pass. It's going to take us right into the Senate. I'm going to walk in there and speak up for the average man.
What?
I'm going to give all those fellas a piece of my mind. Members of the Senate, a gentleman, I stand before you on this solemn occasion.
McGee,
huh?
Let's go to bed and get some sleep.
Okay.
Well, it's a big day in Washington. For one thing, in the office of Dr. Gallup, we'll take this poll right through the nation, a complete cross-section. We've got to find the average man. And for another thing, in the U.S. Senate...
And gentlemen, I draw your attention to that. The year 1904, only 16% of the total population of our great state voted for their elected representatives. It is my solemn duty...
McGee, have you thought of what you're going to say?
Let me tell you, draw our representative parliament.
I better wait till he gets through.
Well, I suppose that would be more polite.
But we must make it go far.
After all, you did it in our past.
Yeah. In this great union, the people have half. The public, they're going to run it.
Thank you.
Well, he's finished, dearie.
Yeah.
Go ahead. It's your turn.
This is a pretty big joint they got here, Molly. You think my voice would reach?
Now, don't tell me you're scared.
All right. I won't tell you. Molly, really, do you think I've got the right? Sure I've got the right.
Gentlemen of the Senate, I have come to speak to you in behalf of all the people of the United States. I think you should find an average man and listen to him. I think an average man might have some ideas with good common sense. Remember, you can't silence the voice of the people. You can't silence the voice of America. You can't.
We'll silence you, mister. Come on, outside.
Oh, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it.
Now then, mister, let's see your pack.
Don't think I haven't got one, Si. And who are you, anyway?
Sergeant at Arms.
Oh, I should have known. He's had trouble with sergeants ever since 1917.
There you are. Here's my pass. Does that give me the right to talk, or doesn't it?
Listen, only senators can talk in the Senate. Except now and then a foreign official like Winston Churchill.
Oh-ho. So, you let foreigners talk in there, but not Americans. What kind of a rule is that?
Hey, what's the meaning of this? What's the reason for this outrageous disgrace?
Oh, hello. I'm glad to see you, Senator Bigby.
Glad to see me? I never saw you before in my life.
I thought so.
Yeah, but Senator, we met you yesterday. You know what, Cousin Alvin?
Oh, nonsense. I have no Cousin Alvin. All my cousins are named Ezekiel and Uriah.
No, no. No, this is my cousin, Alvin Clark. You know Clark.
Oh, Clark. Well, why didn't you say so?
Oh, my gosh, I was trying to. I got no more chance out here than I had in there.
I'm sorry, but you must realize this is a very serious matter. No private citizen can speak in the Senate.
He can't? You mean a citizen can't even be heard?
Only before a Senate committee. Then they decide if the idea should be brought to the Senate.
You mean a handful of senators can keep out the ideas of everybody in the United States?
Yes. No. Why, of all the downright insulting statements.
Come on, McGee, let's go. Oh, don't take it so hard, dearie. It'll all blow over pretty soon.
Not the way they put it in these headlines. Average man talks out of turn. And look, they got my name in it, too.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have talked to those reporters.
I had to. Nobody else would listen. When you think I could have been a big shot just by speaking for the little fellow. Hey, wasn't that the front door?
Yes, I wonder who that could be.
Give me something. A gun, a baseball bat, anything. I'll defend Cousin Alvin's home with my life.
Oh, Cousin Alvin. And McGee, it's Cousin Alvin and Hetty.
Oh, hi, Alvie.
So nice to have you with us.
Cousin Hetty, we had no idea when you were returning. Did you have a nice trip?
Oh, exhausting. Alvin, do you still want a cup of coffee?
Yes, if you please, dear. And take Molly with you. McGee and I will want to talk.
Absolutely.
I beg your pardon?
Well, a couple of big shots get together, and that's what they always do. Talk.
I'm afraid I don't quite understand.
Oh, come along, Hetty. We'll make that coffee. I know just the way McGee likes it here.
Now then, McGee, I suppose you've wondered why I asked you here.
Well, yes.
Sit down.
No, thanks. I like to meet a situation on my feet.
Fine. You see, I've just been appointed to a new position. Strictly hush-hush until it's announced, but it may lead to an unofficial post in the cabinet.
Cabinet, eh? That's pretty big. I'll bet you get an enormous salary.
$1 a year.
Huh?
Out of which I pay my assistants, and that's you.
You get $1 a year and you pay me?
That's right.
Since when did Washington start passing just part of a buck? If it ain't asking too much, Alvie, what do we do?
Well, in the gigantic swing back to peacetime pursuits, it's my lookout to safeguard the interests, the peace, the happiness of the ordinary citizen. I want to find out what irritates him, what causes unrest, and remove the cause. McGee, we can never have a happy nation until every ordinary citizen is happy. Well, any comment?
I think I'll sit down.
Good. You're just the man I want. You're pragmatic.
That's just a little soreness in my left shoulder. It'll go.
Now, here are various forms to be filled out by the public. If you'll just look them over.
Hey, wait a minute. How much of that buck do I get?
Shall we say 30 cents?
Oh, that's not enough, Alvin. It's things like that that cause unrest.
35?
Make it 40 and I'll wash the car.
It's a deal. Hello, Dr. Gallup speaking. Oh, yes, Williams. Reports are piling in, are they? I see. Sharp change in reaction since that story broke? Yes, I thought that fellow McGee had something. Yes, let me know when you finish the tabulation. Well, McGee, how are you making out with those forms?
I've started a list of objectionable items.
Good.
What the public doesn't like. Item one, filling out forms.
Good point, McGee. Enlarge on that.
Enlarge on it? That's the whole trouble, Alvin. What we got to do is then small on it.
I see. You mean simplify, shorten, reduce.
Sure.
Alvin!
Now, wait a minute, Hetty. There's no...
Alvin, have you seen the afternoon paper? Look!
Where?
The front page. In the Senate this morning. That man!
Now, Hetty, you're talking about the man I married.
Why should we all suffer for your mistake?
I'll thank you not to talk to my wife that way.
Now, McGee, you stay out of this. It's my family.
Alvin, are you just going to stand there?
No, I'm afraid I'm going to have to take some action.
Action? You mean...
McGee, this Senate escapade of yours is pretty bad. You know how it is in Washington. You're either a high flyer or a dead duck.
Well, I guess I know which one I am. I'm a defunct canvasback. A massacred mallard.
Of course, you realize that under the circumstances...
Oh, never mind, Alvin. McGee, dearie, come on home.
Oh. Watch yourself on that step, Molly Pye.
Oh, I'm so glad to be back in Wistful Vista. It's almost worth a broken leg, McGee.
Hey. What's all the cheering for? Someone important getting off the train?
Hooray for Fibber and Molly McGee!
Hooray! Why, it's Bob!
Mr. McGee, congratulations.
Dr. Gallup, what are you doing in this town?
Well, I flew down just to make the presentation.
What?
Quiet, please. Quiet. Friends, as the result of millions of votes tabulated in our latest Gallup poll, it gives me great pleasure to present this award to Mr. Fibber McGee, the nation's choice as the average man.
That's an insult! An insult!
Oh, never mind, McGee. I love you just the same.
But, Mrs. McGee, your husband is a big man just because he's the average man.
Now, wait a minute, Doc. I told you I was way above the average.
Well, I suppose every free man feels that way, but who are we to argue with 40 million people? Come on, they want you to lead the parade.
Not me. It's degrading. I won't stand for it. I won't... Ooh.
Changed your mind, dearie? Come on.
Wait a minute. Anybody got a drum?
A drum? What for?
To go with that fight.
What fight? I don't hear any fight.
You wouldn't, Doc. You're not average enough.
Thank you, Fibber McGee and Molly, for your delightful performances tonight.
Oh, it was a pleasure to be here, Mr. Bradley. We know how much this radio program contributes to the Motion Picture Relief Fund and its country house. And we all feel it's a great privilege to share in that work.
The Lady Esther Screen Guild Players will present You Belong to Me. It will star Don Ameche and Carol Landis. Be sure to listen, will you? Heavenly Days was produced and directed for Lady Esther by Bill Lawrence, adapted by Harry Cronman, and was presented through the courtesy of RKO, producers of the Technicolor picture Sinbad the Sailor, starring Douglas Fairbanks Jr. and Maureen O'Hara. Deborah McGee and Molly are heard on their own program each week sponsored by the makers of Johnson Wax Products for home and industry. You save enough on the largest size jar of Lady Esther face cream to buy a box of Lady Esther face powder. So remember, ask for the largest size. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Tonight's Lady Esther Screen Guild program is being heard by our servicemen and women overseas through the worldwide shortwave and network facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther. Thank you and good night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.